ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Wednesday, March 8th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Wendy Wilson will be joining us in just a few momentos. First, we're going to do the market report today. And tough day for gold, down 690 for gold at 1209.70. Silver down 25 cents at 1733. Palladium was down 14,949. Palladium was down $3 at 773. What got hit today was crude oil, but first let's do the dollar. We have the USDX today trading, where did it go? Trading higher, of course, 0.28 at 102.09. Crude oil took a beating down 2.80 at 50.34. There was a little pressure on the paper markets. You have the Dow. Numbers are still ticking through, but I'm looking at it's down 69 at 20,855. The NASDAQ was up 3 at 58.37. The S&P was down 5 at 23.62. 10-year yield up 0.04 at 2.55%. European and Asian markets today pretty much, on a few points up, few points down. And Fear and Greed Index, 63, going into that neutral territory. So we'll talk about the jobs report from ADP and what everyone is expecting on Friday. They already revised with the ADP number from the 190 that we, most of the analysts were expecting it to be, but they are wrong. But we'll see on Friday. We'll talk about that after the break today. First, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about tetanus today. Anybody know anything about tetanus?
No, but every time I go to the doctor, they say, you haven't had a tetanus shot in years. Do you want one? I know, I don't.
Ah, well, we've been taught since childhood that tetanus is something frightening, and we really need to get a tetanus vaccine for protection. That's what we're taught. We have, those little terms thrown out at us that really make us scared as little kids, like lockjaw. Yep. And all those scary thoughts just roll through our heads. But we were also told, like you said, to get your booster shots every 20 years, but they've rolled that back to now every 10 years. Now, the CDC is reporting between 2001 and 2008, there were 233 tetanus cases in the United States. And they report the mortality rate from tetanus is 0.10% per 1 million people. Well, currently in the U.S., 82% of children get their tetanus vaccines. And according to RightDiagnosis.com, the CDC doesn't report to us that about 40 cases of tetanus per year are caused by the tetanus vaccine itself, but that's considered rare. So health authorities in Europe, they actually rate tetanus as a very low rare disease and low risk. The World Health Organization reports that the countries that have a problem with tetanus are Africa and Southeast Asia. They have the most cases globally, with about 82,000 to 84,000 a year. So a large segment of the population really doesn't know anything about tetanus except what their doctors or pediatricians may tell them while recommending the tetanus shot. So what is tetanus really? Well, it's a bacterium. It's Clostridium tetani, and it usually enters the body through a cut, a puncture, or from a wound, like a trauma. So tetanus bacteria is in the soil. And very common for people to have contracted tetanus when the mode of transportation was horse-drawn carriages, and there's a lot of animal feces in the dirt roads.
Farmers.
Yep. So walking around in bare feet was kind of risky back then, because you could pick up the tetanus bacteria. So when the bacteria enters the body, its spores will grow. It produces a toxin called tetanosporium. And the toxins affect the nerves, which control motor neurons in your muscles. So tetanus is not contagious. So if you were to contract tetanus, it usually would happen within 10 to 14 days of your injury if the bacteria was present. And you could have symptoms like, you know, muscle spasms, a stiff jaw muscle, also known as lockjaw, a difficulty swallowing, stiff muscles, which is a major sign, especially if the abdominal muscles get tight. Body spasms could be triggered by a light, sound, or touch. Fever, sweating, even high blood pressure and rapid heartbeat could be a symptom. So let's talk about this vaccine for a sec, because the public, especially parents of young children, are told the tetanus is a killer bacterium. And certainly it is a bacterium, and it can produce some risk, but it's not as prevalent today as it once was, and it's not absolute that if you contract tetanus that you're going to die from it. Actually, the statistics tell us that the odds are in your favor of surviving tetanus by 82%. So what we're not told is that victims of tetanus bacteria are usually the poor and in most cases have low immune systems and are malnourished. So their health hygiene, low standards, and they're more vulnerable to the infection. So now we're also told of the cases which those that were vaccinated with tetanus vaccine can later contract the disease, telling us the vaccine really doesn't offer protection. So in 1988, there was a Servo survey, and they looked at older kids ages 10 to 16 that were already vaccinated with tetanus vaccine, and they tested them to find they had no protective antibodies whatsoever. Now, in 1979, there was a study, and out of 1,900 adults that were of 20 years of age, only 386 had been vaccinated with tetanus. And also, if we do the math, out of the 200 million Americans then, about 60% had tetanus protection, and they didn't have any tetanus protection, excuse me, but they didn't contract tetanus or die from it either. So you have actually 260 times greater risk of dying from tuberculosis than you would from tetanus. But everybody gets the DPT, the tetanus shot, along with the other vaccines in there. So
how long have we been taking the tetanus vaccine? How long has it been available?
Since 1940. So, but according to science, the tetanus vaccine contains what is called a weak form of the tetanus bacterium. They call it attenuated bacilli, which is, it's not a live bacterial spore. And you need a live bacterial spore for your immune system to code an antibody for it. So another fact is that it would take a healthy immune system about 7 to 14 days after it's exposed to the tetanus bacteria to produce an antibody. So if you injure yourself and run to the doctor for a tetanus shot, that tetanus shot's not going to have any benefit to you.
For a couple of, not any at all, or not any for a couple of weeks?
Well, it's not a live bacterial spore, so it's not going to do anything for the immune system to code anything as an antibody.
So if you cut yourself, if you cut yourself on a rusty nail, and you run and say, oops, I need a tetanus because I haven't, it doesn't do any good anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. Your immune system will probably get rid of it by itself, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Here's a quote by Dr. Viera Schrossenberger. She's a vaccine researcher. She says there are only 12 cases of tetanus on average per year in Australia, and half of them occur in the fully vaccinated people. All right. So
how many they didn't give you any idea how many people are vaccinated in Australia? What percentage of the population?
No. But they're like America on average. So I would say at least 60% of the population probably not vaccinated.
Yeah.
Well, here's some of the side effects of the tetanus vaccine. Should you get it, you can have fever, joint pain, muscle aches, nausea and vomiting, loss of appetite, feeling very tired or ill, lightheadedness, pain, of course, with swelling and redness at the injection site. You also run the risk of severe allergic reactions, nerve damage and pain, swollen lymph nodes, headache, digestive problems, anaphylactic shock, seizure, brain damage, Guillain-Barré syndrome, coma, and death.
How often do these symptoms show up from these shots on average per person?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell because so many of these cases don't get reported. Like my own son's case, when he had encephalitis from the DPT, it wasn't reported. The pediatrician refused to report it. So let's look at some of the ingredients. You may be wondering, some people wonder, well, what's in the vaccine besides a weak, dead bacterium? Well, what sources are they using to culture bacteria on it? Well, there's a variety of tissue sources that are now in all the childhood vaccines, and of course the DPT is one of them with the tetanus in there. They use African green monkey vero cells, aluminum as an adjuvant, cow products, cocker spaniel cells, formaldehyde because it's a stabilizer, human fetal lung tissue cells, insect body parts, mouse brains, inactivated tetanus toxin, which we mentioned, formaldehyde, I mentioned that, and thermosol mercury as well as sodium phosphate, sodium chloride, and water. Now, the important thing to remember here is the DNA transfer from vaccines is significant. So we're told by science that all these human, animal, and insect DNA ingredients are necessary to improve the antigen expression. Now they're even using the tetanus vaccine to treat cancerous tumors, so it's an off-market application. Here's a quote from Dr. Maurice Strone and Dr. Philip Anker. They're from the Department of Plant Physiology at the University of Geneva. They say the biological substances entering directly into your bloodstream, which you would get via vaccines, could become part of the human genetic structure. So what some people are thinking is, you know, a lot of people will get on Ancestry.com and try to trace their ancestry and then submit a sample of their DNA to see. Well, at some point with all this animal, human, and transfer of these DNA cells, you may at one point not be able to trace your DNA.
Well, it'd be evidence that you are part animal, I suppose, if you've got green monkey.
Just read the list of that ingredients. It sounds like I know
it's insane. Insane. Yeah, it's like a joke or something like that. Green monkey. Weren't green monkeys associated with AIDS?
Well, and it was just released this past week that a good percentage of the studies where they use these animal cells are supposed to be to take the place of human cells to test in clinical trials. Well, the cells have been corrupted or they're mislabeled, and so really it just kind of blows all the studies out of the water because they really don't know what they have. Well, let me ask you something. Aside from the dirt and maybe animal feces, do you know where else you would find tetanus bacterium?
I have no idea.
You would find it on your clothing. It's in house dust, on urban streets, inside the human gut, and in hospital operating rooms.
Then it's ubiquitous. It's all around us, perhaps almost all the time. And the amazing thing is that we don't get it, or if we do, the immune system usually handles it.
Right. So where we run into a problem most of the time with tetanus, according to the experts, is we get into trouble if we don't adequately clean and treat the wound to prevent the infection from turning into a toxin. So here's a quote from Dr. George Dick, professor of pathology at London University. He says 40 to 50% of the tetanus results from wounds which were considered so trivial that medical attention or minimal wound cleaning was not sought. And in many as one-third of the cases, the bacteria entered through a scratch or an insect bite. And this can lead to tetanus, but not, get this what he says, but not for the unvaccinated children or adults. And he says this because that old adage is you let the kids play in the dirt, they develop natural immunity to bacteria. Well, that's true. Actually, according to Dr. Trevor Willis, the natural immunity is passed down, and by World War I, the immune system was able to isolate the tetanus bacteria. Out of 520,000 soldiers wounded during the war, only 70 developed tetanus. So you pass that immunity down to your children.
And it's not, it doesn't harm us if we breathe it. If it's in the dust all around us, it's not something that's effectively communicated except by some sort of a puncture. And the other thing is, you're talking about scratches and even insect bites that they attribute this to.
Yeah.
But they don't see, if someone's going to the doctor about this, it's at least 14 days since they had the wound, isn't it?
Probably.
I mean,
yeah.
They've got to see symptoms. Who can say what I did 14 days ago? If I had tetanus today, the doctor says, oh my gosh, you got tetanus. It must have been the insect bite 2 weeks ago. I don't remember what happened 2 weeks ago. I don't remember scratching us.
They probably would think you have Lyme's disease before they would even think tetanus, you know? They would think you probably got bit by a tick and you have all these symptoms. But let me read you this quote by Hillary Butler. She's a vaccine researcher. She says, I personally know of only two people who contracted tetanus, and both were middle-aged drinkers and smokers with poor diets. So again, we're getting to, you know, the poor malnutrition and things that will lower immune system, okay? So, I mean, there's ways to deal. There's herbs that actually deal with tetanus bacteriums. Because I prefer to boost the immune system, as you know, and I like to use a lot of cleansing herbs that typically have a lot of nutrition for problems like tetanus. So it's actually been scientifically proven that if you have adequate vitamin A and C in your system, you probably won't even develop a tetanus issue. So with regard to tetanus, though, you want to clean the wound really good. Maybe use some hydrogen peroxide or colloidal silver. And also, you might want to put a layer of garlic juice on it because it's antibacterial. And maybe some, I call it liquid stitches. It's a liquid cayenne, which helps the wound heal really mm-hmm. quick, so it closes it up fast. So you want to use some immune-boosting herbs like echinacea or astragalus. And then definitely use the blood-cleansing herbs. So here are my picks. The blood cleanse has a tetanus inhibitor in it, okay? It has chaparral. Chaparral will prevent tetanus. And also immune booster formula, if you're at thepowerherbs.com, and the garlic juice is there and the liquid stitches. For if you think you're low on nutrition, then the body food mix. And so calcium helps for healing wounds, especially the skin layer quick. And if you're worried about lockjaw, a lobelia herb will prevent that. So you would use the relaxation formula. So there's tools out there. There's tools out there. It's just people need to be educated about, you know, because that's what a lot of fear will do.
We have about 10 seconds.
Yeah, fear. Oh, thepowerherbs.com. Do check it out. And if you want a free catalog, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Enjoyed it. See you next time.
Thank you, Wendy. Interesting report, as always. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, during the break, we were talking about ADP. They came out with they released their numbers, and they're a payroll company, a very big payroll company. And they released their numbers about the new jobs and what we should expect for the Friday's job report from the government. And I was telling him my experience with ADP doing my payroll. And I says, I wouldn't put a lot of faith into their numbers because they were so incompetent in processing my payroll. And I have a separate from all my other business accounts, I have a separate account. And I mean, they couldn't issue checks properly. They didn't process quarterlies properly. They didn't. I'll bet there was five different serious problems with ADP. And that was just in the first month of trying to set up my payroll with ADP. And eventually I canceled. And I still get calls. Well, we want to know why you canceled. I said, do you really? Because I keep telling them and it doesn't do any good. I still get reports from them. I mean, I just, for a large company, I was truly surprised because I worked with ADP a long time ago. And, you know, when I used to be in the insurance business, I, you know, worked many, many, many moons ago, we had ADP and, you know, they were fine, but they were a young company too and not as big. And don't know, everything here was processed out of Baltimore. I'm not saying anything bad about Baltimore. Maybe it was just, you know, a bad area of ADP, but I was just shocked. And my accountant had initially recommended, because he had a client that was the manager of this district with ADP, and he thought they were very competent. And I told him, he says, and it, so it was. So when they come out and release these numbers, like 298,000 new jobs for the month of February, which is a short month, also, it's just kind of interesting.
You are skeptical.
Well, you know,
you don't think the number is going to stand up, and we don't get the official numbers until Friday. Is that true?
That's true.
All right.
You know, I think ADP employment report has a limited value in forecasting the jobs report. And, you know, it's an interesting number, and they do follow the reports, but they can be off by quite a bit. Now, their revisement, the 298,000. I mean, even if they were wrong 50,000, it's still a strong number. So I'm not to take anything away from the number. And usually what they've done in the past is they're usually a little to the low side. So we could even see a much bigger number coming out of the government on Friday. So either way, it's a strong number for February, considering it only has 28 days, but it's been a warm winter across this country. So I can actually see that there was a lot of maybe construction going on this winter.
There's an article from InfoWars that deals with it, and their slant is 290,000 jobs created in Trump's first month, shattering expectations.
It's widely reported.
Well, my point is they're trying to give credit to Trump and the rest of that sort of thing, and I don't know that that's true exactly, but you have to wonder. I mean, he certainly inspired us a measure of optimism. And it says President Donald Trump has received a huge boost for his economic agenda with the news that the U.S. created 298,000 new jobs in his first month of office, shattering expectations by a margin of over 100,000. The total blasted through the market expectations that around 190,000 new jobs would be created. The number bode well for President Trump's agenda of economic nationalism and his vow to reverse the ravages of globalism by bringing jobs back home. I don't believe he brought any jobs back home in February. It's hard to say what happened here, but we don't know for a fact that the numbers are accurate. But if they are, Trump is getting a lot of credit. I'm not sure how much of it is due him. If it is, it's due just because he got people apparently pumped up. It says the breakdown of numbers is significant because it shows that the U.S. is becoming less dependent on service sector jobs as Trump tries to provide new incentives for companies to take on more construction and manufacturing workers. Goods producers added 106,000 new jobs. Construction jobs increased by 66,000, the most in 11 years. And manufacturing jobs were up by 32,000. Claims for unemployment benefits are also at the lowest for 44 years, suggesting employers are confident about the future. If Trump is responsible for these effects, the reflect whatever impact he had on the country before he actually took office. After he was elected, but before he took office, because I don't think the jobs respond. Whatever's going on here, I don't think 1 month of Trump is enough to make, all by itself is enough to make jobs and unemployment move in positive directions. Although he's getting credit for it, and I'm not trying to take any credit away from him, but still, I don't know. It's odd. What really happened here, Melody? Why did this happen?
I think it's an overflow from the stock market. We all know that's a Trump bump because of the promises of regulation, taxes, and so forth. So I get that. So I think this is a follow through. But again, I go back to the warmer winter. You have 66,000 jobs in construction. Well, they were out there able to work. So, the number really isn't that surprising. So if you take the 298 and you remove the 66,000 construction jobs, because usually during the winter you have more layoffs for construction because they can't go out there and work. So you're back down to, 230,000. So, which is a little bit more in line and so forth. So it's closer to that 190 number that everyone was anticipating. So, but you can't, predict the weather and so forth to any big degree. So, he gets credit from the optimism, but I think the numbers, and I think there's a lot of things that make the numbers this strong, if they're reported this strong on Friday. Yeah. But should
so we've
also
got
give...
to wait another couple of days before we learn these numbers are. And even if we get a number on Friday, is that number likely to be revised as inflation rates? They give you a number and then they revise it and then later on they revise it again? Or will it be the number come Friday?
They'll usually just revise them. In fact, they revised January's numbers up. I can't remember 20,000. I think they revised January numbers up, but they don't get, they don't get three revisions like the GDP does. you only get one revision on the jobs report.
It's kind of a do-over. If you don't get the number right the first, just keep trying. Guess again. Just keep guess again. I think it's like multiple choice where you've only got four possible choices, and if you don't get the right one, they only give you two more. If you still don't get the right one, well, then you flunk, but you get two more chances to guess out of the remaining three to see if you can get it right.
Well, just like I had good friends, I've told this story before, went to my church in Missouri, and they both work for the agriculture department, and she did the insurance, and she used to tell me about when if they were carrying wheat across the ocean, our ships, barges and so forth, if they had a problem or something at sea, they just dump the stuff at sea. They just dump it. It was cheaper just to dump it. It would just boggle my mind, some of the stories that they would tell me. And that's what he said. He was responsible for the numbers that were released to the public. And he said he would wait to the very last minute because various heads of various departments wouldn't have their numbers. And he said half the time, he says they just pulled them right out of the sky. Mm-hmm. It says they had no idea, so they would just estimate. They would guess. They would give him a number, and that was the number he had to go by. So, you know, that is why you have revisions. And you think in the day of computers, you know, I mean, they should be there with the reports accurately the very first time. Maybe we're not as far advanced in technology as everybody thinks we are. But
well, you know, the idea of falsifying numbers, it's commonly understood. I mean, the government, they do falsify the numbers. It certainly appears that way. And the question is, how much effect does that really have on the public? And does it make a real difference in the economy? If we lie to people essentially and say, guess what? We had 400,000 jobs created in February. Does that lie actually motivate the people to work harder, work better, hire more people, hire more employees, you know, have more optimism in the economy, and all by itself, is that sufficient to make a real difference? Or is it just a temporary illusion that is going to collapse in a short period of time?
Well, I think sometimes that illusion allows and gives people make decisions. I mean,
based on sentiment.
Based on reports. Based on the information, not sentiment. You also have, and again, you have a lot of businesses, you know, for the credit that Mr. Trump is given, because of the changes in the various programs and so forth. They're saying that businesses are making decisions. They're hiring and everything based on future revisions of regulation. I don't buy that. Why would a business person do all kinds of changes in a business before he knows that any regulation changes will affect him to the positive? So I don't, you know, perhaps those that are a little bit closer to the, you know, like your big banks and so forth, they might have a little bit, you know, closer relationship and might already know, and, you know, they can make changes. But for the normal business guy out there that's, you know, doing working and so forth, he's not changing anything yet.
Well, some people think so. And
it doesn't make
raises
sense.
Another.
Why would they?
I don't know why they wouldn't. I think it's a good question. What I'm getting to is this: it's commonly understood that the Obama administration was fibbing. They were handing out information and numbers, and they were intentionally increased
Every
or diminished.
Administration does.
That's where I'm going with this. Yeah. Is Trump already falsifying the numbers? Has he already joined the group and started falsifying numbers, or is he telling the truth?
I would think these numbers are true, because if you believe that there's still a lot of Obama counterparts in various offices and places, you'd see have the numbers go the other way. So, I don't know. We don't know. We have to. You need more than just 1 month or two to really determine.
I agree with that.
You know, to see what's, you know, if the lies are continuing and so forth. You know, so. You can't say yet. But I
can. That's one of the problems, though, isn't it?
Break down these numbers and say it's just not all about the new administration. There's other things.
I agree with that.
There's other things that can back up these numbers. Yeah. And again.
Well, there's other. I don't think it's you can attribute the whole thing to Trump. Maybe you can. I don't know. But if you can, again, it's sentiment. The numbers are based on sentiment. And people, or at least they are causing sentiment to rise. Optimism is rising, perhaps without fundamentals to support them.
I'm not going to go and hire a staff of 20 just because of future promises that my regulations are going to change.
I understand.
You know, so no, I don't bow. I think these are some. We've seen a little bit of manufacturing move up, which makes you know, the manufacturing jobs increase by 32. That's hardly anything. You know, if you break down these numbers, so.
Well, if it's true, it's true. I mean, at least that's something. I mean, if we could count on getting numbers that we could believe in, the problem we have, and the reason we're discussing this in large measure, is because we know from experience that you can't count on these numbers.
Well, after a person has lied to for so long,
yeah, I know.
You know, the guy that comes along telling the truth, you're still not going to accept his word off the, you know, you
it's
have to prove
take
it.
A while.
Prove
yeah,
it
yeah.
to me.
Show me.
Show me you're telling me the truth.
Exactly right.
So,
I've got an article here from CNBC, and it said, here's what the market is missing about Trump. Mohamed El Arian, chief economic advisor of Allianz and former chief executive of PIMCO, told CNBC's Fast Money on Monday that three beliefs are deeply ingrained in the markets today. One, politics may be noisy, but that doesn't contaminate economics. And saying that politics, the people are believing the economic system can float along just fine without much regard to politics. Two, central banks are here for us. They can repress volatility, and they are willing and able. What he's saying is the markets are manipulated and controlled in a way to ensure that they basically go up, up, and up, and we don't ever get a legitimate correction. And he thinks that's one of these ideas, one of these three beliefs in the market. And the third one is economic growth may not be exciting, but it is predictable and stable. So the implication from these three beliefs is that people have a great deal of optimism, right? And they are inclined to think, well, it's the game is rigged. You can't lose. Get in and play the game. That's essentially what he's not saying that, but that's what it comes down to in my mind. And here's another quote from El Arian. He says, this is why what we hear that Washington doesn't want to disturb investors. That's why what we hear out of Trump is that he doesn't want to surprise the markets. It will take a major policy mistake and major political developments to spook investors. I would have thought it would happen already. It hasn't. He doesn't know when it's going to. Top it off, the market is increasingly expecting the Fed to raise rates in middle of March and maybe at least three rate hikes this year. What can I say? The world is functioning on the basis of interesting belief system, which does not necessarily reflect reality. I'm going to take a break. Oh, no, we're not. I'm going to wait another 45 seconds before we take a break. He goes on and he says, apparently Wall Street needs major things to happen to shake investors out of these three above-mentioned beliefs. El Arian is saying at least implicitly that these three fundamental beliefs, one, politics doesn't matter, two, central banks are rigging the system for us, and three, economic growth is predictable and stable, he's saying we're not going to give those beliefs up easily, and therefore markets are going to tend to remain apparently optimistic, even if there's not good cause for that optimism. There's a lot of fools, and their money are perhaps going to be parted, but not just yet. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I was telling you, I have this quote here from, he was the CEO, he was born, it was, he was born, he was the original CEO of Archer Daniels, and his quotation was, there is not one grain of anything in the world that is sold in the free market. It's not one. The only place you see a free market is in the speeches of politicians. And I think it's real interesting that Arian has said that the central banks are here for us.
Yeah.
Until they decide not to be.
Well, not only that, you know, it's a cynical opinion that there's nothing in the free market anywhere in the world. If that were true, we've seen flash crashes. We've seen the economic problem in 2007, 2008, and 2009. All of this indicates that, yeah, the free market is still alive and well to some extent. There may be a lot of manipulation, but it does not, there's not all manipulation. Sometimes the free market does intrude, and then it's up to the plunge protection team or whoever to jack it back up to some level of optimism. But
I'm not sure it's the free market that interrupts more so than an event or a situation. And I don't know if you could call that a free market.
If something's happening that is not controlled.
But it's not true free market trading that's changing things.
Well, I mean, the free market is always subject
to... There is no free market.
Well, maybe there is. I'm just saying, to say there's no free market, I would be inclined to disagree with that. To say that it was mostly manipulated, I wouldn't argue with that. But to say it's completely manipulated, I'd say probably not. But sooner or later, there's going to be a moment when I don't care if they can manipulate the markets for the next 500 years. There's going to be a day when the public finally figures out that the whole game is rigged, and maybe they just take their marbles and go home and say, I'm not going to play this game anymore. It's like playing, you know, if you're going to Las Vegas and you're playing and the roulette wheel is rigged or the slot machines are rigged, sooner or later you're going to say, you're going to figure it out and you're going to say, I'm not going to play this anymore. I don't think they can continue to manipulate forever and hold it together. And that's the big question. How long can they continue to rig the game?
You know, when he makes a statement about needing major things to happen in order to shake the investors out of his three beliefs, that's really a major thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking about something that drops the markets from 21,000 the Dow anyway to back
20,005
to 20. Yes, or the,
yeah,
you know,
we're
the
talking
S&P.
About something major.
We're talking about major.
Yep.
And when it goes, it's going to go, and we're going to be back to the levels, if not lower, than we were back in 2008, 2009, and 2010 during the crash. So you can enjoy it now.
Even you can enjoy it now, or you can get clear now in anticipation of a problem.
Well, they can enjoy it now and think that they can get out in time. Mm-hmm. Because I believe once things happen, it's just gonna be like gold. If you wait, you think you'll be able to buy gold, and there won't be any there. It's the same thing with the stock market. You think you'll be able to get out in time, but you won't, because there won't be any buyers. You won't even be able to get a hold of your broker.
Well, I think if you want to buy gold...
People forget. Everyone has such short memories.
Yep.
You can't...
It's obscured by their own sense of greed.
I guarantee you most people can't even remember or place themselves of what this nation went through and how you felt when the markets were crashing back in 2000, 8 and 9, even the dot-com bust, mm-hmm. even all the little crashes before that, 87.
We are a naturally optimistic species. That's the implication. And if they give you any cause for optimism, celebration, hope for the future, and the rest of it, we'll grab it. We'll grab it. Here, I'll be right with you. Let me bait the hook. All right? Oh, good. Look, we're getting free cake and ice cream. No, you're getting a hook is what you're getting. But a little cake and ice cream on the hook, but you're getting the hook. I don't know. It is, you know, it's part of the reason why there's nothing new under the sun. You know, an old saying that has been largely true. They package it. They do. Maybe there are new things. Robots, I don't know. Maybe that's a new thing. But in the end, is it really, or is it just somebody trying to make a buck again? And there's a certain amount of what fools these mortals be. You know, we get into the same problems and the same problems and the same problems, and almost always because some politician comes up with an idea and says, I know, we could have a fiat dollar. How about that? And it was, yay, fiat dollars, yay, something for nothing. And it inevitably leads to some sort of a collapse. You would
and
hope
they
that
did
people
get
would
a
be
lot.
More reasonable and rational.
They
the
did.
People who, the people who installed it. Who established the fiat dollars? Is that who you mean?
They did get a lot for nothing. Everyone who played the system.
Oh, yeah.
They
I
all
know.
Did.
For
government,
a while.
Wall Street. And just like Joan Vion said, for a long time, I remember so many years ago, Wall Street is destroying. That's their bank. That's the elite, the Illuminati's bank. They take your money and destroy this country. And it's just so, yeah. They've used the system. They used our fiat currencies. All the legislations, everything else was to help promote them. So, yeah, I do get upset. I mean, I don't have a problem with wealth, but it's how they have accumulated their wealth, how they gained their wealth. That's what I have a problem with. And there's very few of them out there that have really, truly have done it honestly.
I know. They want to present themselves as a Horatio Alger story, and they worked hard, and they made a fortune, and they became rich. But the truth of the matter is, most of the people, not all of them, but most of the people that are super rich, they didn't
maybe
work
to
hard.
Be super rich.
They
maybe.
Bribed people in government to pass laws to allow them to enjoy special advantages.
Yeah.
And then they were able to, they eliminated competition. They got special advantages to loot the public because they gave money to congressmen and
the
senators and maybe
right
presidents.
Along. Public goes right along with it because they're also promised, you know, the big dreams.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, it's... But
you know, as soon as you see something for nothing, you ought to pack your bags and run. All right? As soon as a politician is offering you something for nothing, you're going to get more of this, that, or the other that you did not personally earn. You encounter that that mentality, good time to pack up and move. Get away from
I want to move on to this. There's this Bloomberg report, and the first line is, crises often occur when investors suddenly realize your foolproof investments actually aren't, and they're talking about paper.
Yep.
So that's when individuals kind of run to cash, trying to avoid, and this is what we talked about when I mentioned just a little bit ago, you think you'll be able to outsmart the market. Well, you won't. You won't be able to beat the market when you want to sell.
Some people will, but most of them won't. That's the problem. Most of them won't. There'll be a handful of people who take credit for being really, really smart, and more than likely what they really are is really lucky. Right? If you really do outsmart the market when there's a crash, when a crash is imminent or perhaps already beginning, if you're able to outsmart and essentially outrun the stampede, avoid the stampede, get off to the sidelines where you don't go over the cliff with the rest of the lemmings, you know, maybe you're smart and maybe you're just lucky. I mean, a lot of people take credit. Trump does. He takes credit for things, for good things that happen. And maybe he's responsible and maybe he just happened to be in the right place at the right time. You know, maybe Obama could have been here and we would have something similar. I find that hard to believe.
But touch on this article a little bit. So,
Well, this top-rated credit poised to fail?
Yeah.
Yeah, crises often occur when investors suddenly realize their foolproof investments actually aren't. That's when individuals rush to withdraw cash, aiming to avoid losses at all costs. Their faith in predictable returns is shaken profoundly. It appears that such spasm may await the $5.7 trillion U.S. investment-grade bond market. They're talking about corporate bonds. They're not talking about the federal government's bonds. They're talking about corporate bonds. They say while many investors have been treating top-rated corporate debt as a proxy for government bonds, these notes are becoming less and less creditworthy. Why? First, let's look at leverage. After years of unprecedented debt sales, meaning they're selling these bonds, corporate bonds. These big American companies are more leveraged than they've ever been since 2002. They've got a lot of debt. At the same time, the amount of cash in their books relative to their obligations has declined to near the lowest level since 2009. They got a lot of debt. They don't have much cash. Right? They have other resources, but they don't have much cash. And the point that they'll get to in this article is that the cash provides a buffer. If things suddenly go badly and you have cash, you have something liquid, well, you can still get by. If you got enough cash, you got enough gold, you got enough silver, you got enough savings, you can weather a sudden storm. If you don't have any, you're in a lot of trouble. They go on, they say, second, there's a shrinking buffer. Top-rated American companies have a shrinking pool of cash relative to debt. That's what we were talking about. This development is disturbing for several reasons. First, the U.S. is supposed to be in the midst of economic expansion, albeit a historically tepid one. Corporations have been enjoying dropping unemployment and increasing consumer confidence. This is at a time when borrowers have fewer threats to their revenues, and yet they're selling debt at a much faster pace than they've been able to increase their income. They're going, they are assuming more debt and not increasing their income. All right? This is equivalent to a guy who's going in, he had a credit card for $25,000 limit, he's got another one for $50,000 limit, another one, who knows, for $100,000 limit. But he's not increasing his income. If he doesn't increase his income, what are the chances that he can go deeper and deeper into debt before the whole thing blows up in his face? And the answer is, you know, this is risky business. What else have they got here? This also leaves the corporate bonds with less of a cushion to buffer against rising interest rates, which is important when the Federal Reserve is tightening monetary policy. Enthusiasts for this corporate debt would say that another economic downturn is a ways off, and the top-rated corporate debt will continue during the domestic and foreign will continue luring domestic and foreign investors alike. They are betting a little like El Arian was talking about in that previous report, where he said, "Here's three things three beliefs that are established in the market right now." They don't believe, the market doesn't believe, there can be a turnaround. Right? They believe the fix is in, and no matter what happens, the government's going to keep this game bouncing. And so the only problem is that the only thing that has to be done is find more suckers to come in and get in the game. Take your money and invest it in stocks, invest it in bonds. Go ahead. You can't miss. You can't lose. Put more money in the game, and people in positions of power will have access to your money. But it's not to worry about. We'll find more people. After you, we'll find even more people and more people to invest more money into the system, into the game. And as long as it happens, the people, you know, it's like a multi-level marketing program. If you got in at the beginning and you can keep people coming in, you're going to do well. If anything happens, though, to diminish the supply of investors and or fools, depending on your perspective, if something happens and shakes their confidence in the idea that the game is rigged, guess what? Everybody's going to quit the game. Nobody wants to quit a game. No one wants to continue if the game isn't going to win. It gives people a lot of confidence. This has been one of the reasons why government has not been upset, and the system has not been upset by disclosure that the markets are rigged. The markets give some investors confidence. They say, keep investing here. The government's fixed the game. We're not going to lose. That's all. They all just laugh about it. There's some people who don't understand that the market is rigged and they are taken advantage of. But for the most part, if you're on the in, if you're on the inside, if you're halfway intelligent, observant, and for not maybe not overwhelmed by your own sentiment, you can sit back and say, well, the game is fixed. So I might as well play the game. Can't lose. And so they do continue to play the game because they can't lose. And the article started out with a comment. Let me see if I can find this. Crises often occur when investors suddenly realize that their foolproof investments actually aren't. And what they're talking about is when investors suddenly realize that the game that was rigged, that you couldn't lose, all of a sudden it says, oh my gosh, something's happened. The game is no longer rigged. And that is cause for panic and people to bail suddenly, rapidly, fearfully. All right? Let me out of here! And when that happens, prices fall like a stone. We're out of here. We're out of time for today. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.